I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to the very first Steel Wars chat show, call-in show. This is going to be quite the experiment. I've got my co-host for this episode, hopefully chiming in at any moment now.
I'm here.
Oh my God.
Is it working?
I can hear you. It's
oh,
it's
good. Good. Thank the maker, because it seemed like it was not going to work for a second there.
Well, yeah, I'm just getting used to this Blog Talk Radio, the studio screen and stuff, and it doesn't allow much for testing beforehand. It's just straight in.
So yeah, they just kind of drop you in the middle of the show.
I think if people call in the number, which is on all the paraphernalia, you can Skype in. It's an American number, but you can just Skype in on 646-668-8360. And you can chat to us. But we've got so much in Star Wars news. We've also got, we should try to get a little bit of professionalism after our incompetence. We've got Dominic Jones, my good friend from the Star Wars underworld. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm so excited to be here for this extraordinary experiment. hopefully your listeners aren't sick of me after the amount of podcasts that we put out, or that I was on of yours during Celebration. But if they're not, I'm glad of that, and I'm happy to be back.
Well, I'm on every episode, so they're going to be sick of me sooner.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Now, that's what's called when somebody stops listening to a podcast, is when they're sick of the host. Like, I can't take this guy anymore. I'm just done. Just delete, delete, delete.
Get over it, mate. Just move on.
Yeah. Helicopter lightsabers are a thing. Just move on. It happened, and keep going.
Why do you have to start like that? All right, so... I've got a few different things happening, which, you know, some of which I got off the Star Wars Underworld.com. We've got the passing of Kenny Baker. We've got Rogue One Black Series figures released in Asia somehow. We've got Rogue One Empire covers. We've got the editing on Star Wars Episode 8 beginning. The Rogue One A Star Wars Story International trailer with new dialogue. You just picked up or got sent the Rebel Season 2 DVD. I want to start with this, Dominic Jones. I was very interested on the Star Wars Underworld episode. Maybe it was last week's one. And you had some very firm feelings about the 3D Blu-ray release.
Yeah. Yeah, I really, what it comes down to is the fact that I don't like that they waited 6 months between the original release and the 3D release. I don't see why you would do that other than to get more money from Star Wars fans, because as you know, and as we are living
I'm going to come at you from the other way. Now, yeah. What other reason is there to release a Blu-ray than money?
That's true. I mean, when you look at it from the Disney perspective, and I get that, I totally get that, but to me, I look at it from the fan perspective, and, you know, I want to have the option to buy the version of the Blu-ray that I want. And I don't think it's fair to the fans to say, we're just going to make you essentially buy everything twice, because that's what they're doing here. Unless you have a 3D TV, then you're essentially paying $40 for a bunch of stuff you already got, plus a JJ commentary and a couple of new featurettes, which, you know, if they wanted to put that out available, like as some kind of download or something for $12 or $15, and maybe I'd actually be more inclined to buy that. But when you basically say, just buy everything again, and we'll put this one extra thing in that you want, and we're going to charge you more than you paid the first time, it just doesn't seem like, that doesn't seem like a good way to treat your fan base.
Do you think maybe, because what you're, you know, the actual item you're paying for is the film in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And like, do you think, like from how you're spinning it, it's the extras is what you're paying for.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that is true that if you want to buy the movie and you want to get the movie in 3D, it is a different scenario. But they're also including a regular 2D Blu-ray on the box set, so they are also marketing it to people who don't have a 3D TV, which is good. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying you should split things up like that. But when you already put out the 2D movie 6 months ago, to then say, well, you can buy it again to get all this other stuff that you want, they're basically saying, you know, if you want this extra content and you don't have the 3D the 3D capabilities, then either pay us the $40 to get the thing you don't want, to get the smaller things that you do want, or just sit it out and don't get it. So it would be preferable to me if there was some kind of other, some like third alternative to where you could pay. I'm not saying give it to us for free. I'm saying I will still pay for it, but not $40, just so I can get the other stuff that I want, not without buying the 3D Blu-ray, because I have no use for a 3D Blu-ray at this moment in time.
Well, not right now. You're doing a podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Well, not this moment, or the moments after the podcast, or probably for any moment in the next year, I would say. Probably I don't expect to buy a 3D TV anytime soon.
So just say you had a 3D TV and Blu-ray, would your opinion be swayed somewhat?
I might be a little bit more, to be perfectly honest, I might be a little bit more happy about it. But then I would be sitting there going, well, why couldn't you have put out the 3D Blu-ray and put out all this other stuff 6 months ago? That to me is the real sort of the big issue is, why are we splitting this stuff up over 6 months? Why are they doing that? Because it makes me wonder, like it doesn't, as a fan, that doesn't make me feel good about what they're doing, because it's essentially saying, we want you to buy this over and over again. We don't want to just give you all the options at once.
Yeah, when you're saying that there's a 2D Blu-ray also in the pack, like, I don't know, I sort of feel like that's a catch-22, because if you didn't include it, people would complain that way as well.
yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. And ultimately, I think all of this could be fixed, or could have been avoided, or have been fixed by just putting the 3D Blu-ray out in April, or delaying the whole thing till May or June.
Oh, but Star Wars fans are impatient.
We are. That is true. That might not have flown.
The what I'm wondering, and I'm not sure if you know this or anyone knows this, Dominic, but is the commentary going to be on the 2D version as well, or is the 2D version literally just a copy of what we got earlier this year?
I don't know. I honestly don't know, and I don't think anybody really knows unless you work at Lucasfilm or Disney and they are involved in the actual publishing of this. That would be a question I would like to know. I would like to think that they would put it on the 2D Blu-ray as well, so you don't have to, you know, completely upgrade. But then again, maybe they want people to upgrade to 3D. Maybe Disney has some vested interest there, or maybe people behind the scenes feel that.
An overarching media conspiracy to get you to upgrade your home entertainment devices. Is that what we're hearing on the first episode of the Steel Wars call-in show?
Sure. Yeah. I'll be the Star Wars conspiracy nut this week. You can find me after the show in my bunker, with all of my Star Wars Nerf guns, waiting for the Dizpocalypse, where Mickey Mouse will come to burn all my EU books. I think is what I'm most worried about.
X-wing fuel melts Death Star beams.
Yes. I've got that's what I've got tattooed on my back. How did you know that?
Oh, nice. It was very hard to read that off your back just then, if you couldn't tell. I really struggled with that. Now, I don't know. I'm for some reason, Dom, one of my favorite things about Star Wars is about what people, you know, like and dislike. Sure. You know, for different reasons. And even in, you know, with things like this, like, it could annoy me, but it just doesn't. I just don't care. Like, I'm just like, yeah, I'll just buy another disc at $40. I don't care.
Sure. Fair enough. Well, I mean, it is, you know, that is definitely one way to look at it. And, you know, there are a lot of things that I look at in fandom where people are freaking out about one thing or another, like the Death Star being upside down or something. I'm like, why are you wasting your time on that? And so I totally get that perspective. It's just in this case, because this is the first Star Wars movie of this new era, and we're going to have Star Wars movies every year. I feel like this could be a bit of a slippery slope into a lot of buying the movies over and over and over again. Not that we haven't done that before, but I mean that we'd really like be buying two or three copies of every movie within, you know, 18 months.
Hmm. Because as we've spoken about this online, George Lucas once did release the buy this box set before I mess with the film edition.
That is true. And you know, I've made this comment, and I know you disagree with it, but I don't think that this is something that Lucas would be doing. I do think, you know, that modern marketing of movies and stuff would have dictated that, yes, the movie would have been split up, that there would have been a bunch of different smaller releases. There'd be the Blu-ray, the 3D Blu-ray, the DVD, all of that. But I think that if Lucas had have been in charge, there wouldn't have been the 6-month gap is really what I'm getting at. I think everything we would have still gotten the three different versions of it, but I think they would have all come out at the same time, because I just look at when George released the movies, he made a point of making that an event and constantly including new bonus features. I mean, he almost never, I can't think of any time that he repeated bonus features across different releases, even times when I would have liked it if he'd done that, like on the Blu-ray, the Saga Blu-ray. I would have loved it if he had to put all of the prequel deleted scenes that were on the DVDs in with the new deleted scenes and that sort of thing. But it was always, there was always something new, something different. So you were getting getting new value, and it was always on a different medium too. It was, you know, you rarely got two Star Wars releases on the same medium. You know, it was always waiting till the medium was, it had cemented itself as the dominant distribution for home media. You know, he waited for a while with Blu-ray, waited for a while with DVD. And then once that happened, then he would put out a really good
box set. There was a few different DVD releases, Dom.
There were two. There was the box set in 2004. And then there was the unaltered versions in 2006. And
so is that the unaltered versions? They're the ones that has the laser discs as the extra. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And see, that doesn't bother me so much, because when you're releasing, you're essentially releasing with the unaltered version. You're just releasing the movie. There wasn't any, the bonus feature was the unaltered version. So if you wanted the unaltered version, you were buying the movie again. You weren't buying it for some, documentary or some new commentary. Whereas if you were just happy with your special editions, you just stuck with the 2004 box set.
Are you going to buy it though, Dom?
I'm telling myself I'm not going to. But I can see it now.
What a thinly veiled protest this is.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it now. I'm going to walk into the store. I'm going to see it, and I'm going to go, fine, I'll buy it. Like, I went on this London trip before Celebration, I had tried to get tickets to see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and then I had sort of come to terms with not seeing it. And then one day I walked in front of the theater and I saw it there, and I was like, crap, I'm getting in line for, I'm going to spend all day in line at the box office trying to buy some return tickets, aren't I? And then, yeah, and I spent a whole day and a whole bunch of money standing in line to get tickets. So it'll probably be something like that. It's a weak protest, but yeah, no, it's not. It's the actions that count in this case.
The question I would like answered about this Blu-ray 3D is, and this could really, the answer to this might make you very angry, Dominic, is when did JJ record his commentary?
Yeah. That's a good question. Because if he recorded it in February, then I'm none too pleased. If he recorded it in June, okay, fine. But if it was like in February, that's not cool.
Yeah, I'm of two minds. Because the other thing is, like, you know, Disney, the corporation, said, here's a product. Here's how much we'd like for it. And people looked at the product, looked at the extras and went, yes, I will give you my money, or no, I won't. I don't know. Then if they put out something else, and I guess it's just supply and demand. Like, if you think I've got a 3D TV, so it's sort of like, yeah, I've never used it in 3D. I should point out that. So I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, with this $40, I might be able to, actually get some value out of this device. I can wear these wacky glasses in my house.
Yeah, you could. You could if you want to. and if you have the 3D TV, you know, then you do have that option. If you do want to watch the movie in 3D from time to time, you can, you know, it is cool. Like I would like that, to have that option eventually with all the movies, to be able to say, I want to watch it in 2D or I want to watch it in 3D. But I'm not at that point yet.
And also, for all the people when the first Blu-ray came out said, I'd pay $40 just for a J.J. Abrams commentary, here's your chance.
Yeah, that you wasn't...
Can do,
I wasn't,
you can
I,
do
I wasn't
that
one of those.
Very thing. I hope it's a casual commentary. I think maybe as a broadcaster, I was offended at the previous commentaries. I hated the way it was like edited sound bites, like almost from like random interviews. Like I love the old, my commentary is that old classic sort of Kevin Smith style where you get a bunch of people from the film in a room and you watch the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, if you look at what JJ did with the Star Trek movies, the first Star Trek movie was very much that. It was a bunch of them sitting around watching the movie, whereas the second one, it was kind of weird because they split up the movie into sections, and then different people commented on different sections. So JJ did, I think he did a couple of scenes, and the editors did a couple of scenes, and they were that kind of more laid back talk about the movie, but they were also very, you know, chopped up and edited. So it'll be interesting. I'm going to guess this is probably like he just sits there and watches the movie.
Do you think he has any mates?
I think if he did, they would say there's no reason. Like if John Boyega is there watching it with him, or Lawrence Kasdan or Kathy Kennedy, I think they would promote that.
So you want JJ and Kasdan, there's your $40.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Maybe with a, you know, just a young buck loose cannon podcaster coaxing them on.
So what was really going on in this scene? You just want to be sitting there asking, trying to get all those details that are in the making of book that'll never be released.
I'd just be like, so R2 just woke up then? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
Like, so it, was she it, Han Solo's daughter in the original version? Was she? Come on. You can tell me. You can tell me.
All right. Let's, like, in my mind, either she is or she was. I can't see, like, and I'm fully open to they, because one of my theories is with The Force Awakens is they had this story and then it changed midway and some remnants of that old story got left in.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That's always been my theory with the how Rey and Han, you know, finish each other's sentences. It's like, either it's going to turn out she is, or she used to be.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I mean, you know, going into the movie, I'd followed all the spoilers, I'd read all of them on Making Star Wars, and so I knew more or less what the movie was going to be, and I went into it not expecting her to be Han's daughter, Han and Leia's daughter. I thought she's either going to be Luke's daughter, or we're not going to find out in this movie. And then the movie starts, and there's all this stuff about who is she? Who is she? There's, you know, there's the great little line of her, between her and BB-8. You know, where do you come from? Classified, really? Me too. Big secret. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if they're gonna give us this answer. Maybe this actually happens. And then yeah, the stuff with her and Han finishing each other's sentences and all that. And it did seem to be going that way. And then nothing, and then nothing, and now it seems like it's probably going in a completely different direction.
All right, I just want to put it out, if anyone is listening to this now, I can't see on the switchboard how many people are listening. I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing, but tweet me at Steel Wars if you're listening now. That would be fantastic.
There are 6 people in the chat.
How have you got the chat?
You have to go to the you can't be in the little like studio thing with the dialer and that stuff. You have to click the link to the live to the page where you would listen to the show.
Okay.
scroll down the page.
I feel like I'm gonna start listening to the show.
To the show. Yeah. By accident, yeah. You just sit there listening, ooh, this sounds pretty good. Yeah, right now we've got Catherine Meehan, Charlie Ashby, Emily.
I literally started hearing the podcast like on delay. That was brutal. Okay, we've got Mick and we've got Emily Lind. They're listening. Emily Lind realizes what this is, and that is content. Sweet content. So here's the deal. We're just trying to learn how to do this, but if you've got Skype, call us on the American number 646-668-8360. It's on there, and you can... I believe you'll call in and then I can add you and you can chat with us. That's how it's meant to work. When I listen to other people do this in other genres, that's how it worked. Listen, Dom, you're here complaining about shelling out for this $40 Blu-ray.
Yeah.
When you're not mentioning that you're saving a couple of Canadian, what's the Canadian dollar called? The Canuck? The Maple? The Beaver?
Let's go with that. Any of those is...
All right. Well, you've saved quite a bit of Canadian hockey pucks. I think that's the currency. And you got sent the Rebels Season 2 DVD. How's that been going?
Yeah, I'm very excited, very grateful. Maybe it
is
a little bit...
You don't sound very grateful, mate. Yeah, you're complaining about buying another DVD.
Well, maybe I'm trying to stand up for the fans that don't get sent stuff for free, that don't record podcasts and do websites, that are just, you know, they go and work all day and they come home after slaving away at their desk, crunching numbers or whatever they do, and all they want to do is just watch Star Wars, and they'd love a J.J. Abrams commentary but they don't want to throw down the $40 for a movie they already own on Blu-ray just because it's got the 3D version or something. I'm standing up for the little guy. That's what I'm doing, Steel.
God, you just recapped the first half an hour of the podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. if you're just tuning in, this is what you missed.
Okay, so you're standing up for the little man. You're the Jyn Erso of Star Wars podcast.
Yes. I rebel. I rebel against people who send me
this
stuff.
This call-in show is your chance to make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. May the Force be with us. Come on.
So what's happening on this Rebels Blu-ray? What are we into?
Yeah, so I haven't had a chance to really sit down and watch the episodes yet, but I did check out the bonus features because...
Oh, I thought you were going to say that was your silent protest, just not watching
that's
it.
That's my silent protest, is to not watch Rebels. No, I just haven't had a chance yet to watch them. I am looking forward to revisiting Season 2. I thought Season 2 was uneven at times. I thought Season 1 was very, very strong, and Season 2... didn't quite run with that the way I was hoping it would.
Can I ask you, is, like, when you say it's uneven, has there ever been, in your mind, an even series of Star Wars animation?
Closest would be Season 2 of Clone Wars, I would think. That would be the closest. Season 5 had that. Season 4, no, that had that. There's always the droid episodes that that throw it off. Yeah, no, Star Wars has never been very the Star Wars TV has never been very even, but that is true. Something about Season 2 really felt like they were kind of all over the place, more so than even the wackiest seasons of Clone Wars. Like, you know, Clone Wars Season 3 is sort of epitomizes it, where the first half was very uneven. There was some really good stuff, but there was also some stuff that really just didn't work. But then the second half of the season, like straight through from as soon as they introduced the Savage Opress all the way through the episodes with Chewbacca, was one of the best runs of Star Wars TV. And I think Season 1 of Rebels was actually pretty close to that. There were a couple of episodes here and there that didn't quite land. Whereas I think Season 2 had more of those episodes that didn't quite land. And there didn't seem to be a lot of purpose to what they were doing. It was another week of stealing fuel, or another week of, breaking somebody out of prison. You know, there wasn't a sense of urgency the way there was in Season 1. And I'm hoping that Season 3 reinstates that a little bit.
But I find two things about Star Wars animation that, you know, one, that it's hard to have an even season because I don't think they know who they're broadcasting to, or like they're in two minds of like, it's a kid show, but it's mainly watched by 30-year-old men.
Yeah. And the best episodes of Clone Wars are the ones where it seemed like they chose to focus on the 30-year-old men, you know, the older audience who were into that show, especially in the later seasons where they really didn't do very many kiddie episodes. But then by that same token, in Season 5, I thought the young Jedi arc, which was conceived as the possible backdoor pilot for its own kiddie series, I thought that was also some of the strongest stuff of Season 5. So there is kind of that weird balance that they really don't know who they're making it for, because I mean, it never really does super well in terms of any traditional ratings. It does okay. It does good. Does good enough. But it's not like the runaway success that I think they thought it could or should be. And so then they start looking at, okay, who is actually watching the show and who is the most vocal audience? It's the people that are, you know, watching Rebels Recon or going to the panels at Celebration. And that's mostly it seems adults, because, you know, we love Star Wars, and unlike children, we actually have the ability to make decisions about going to Celebration. We don't have to beg a parent to take us or something.
Oh, so not allowed to travel around the world to go to Celebration, you 8-year-old. Yeah. Oh, that's bad luck, mate.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame you
keep,
can't.
Keep just, you just keep on, saving up for your little second Blu-ray of the year, buddy.
Saving his little pennies. Like, oh, $17 isn't enough to get on a flight to go to London? Oh.
Well,
yeah.
In Canada, they're saving their maples.
Their maples, yeah. I think 17 maples is like the equivalent of like $3 US or something. I don't know.
So what's the special, what are the features like?
So the features, they put on all of the Rebels Recon. So you can rewatch those on TV if you want. And then there are two main features. There's the, what are they officially called? There's the Connecting the Galaxy Rebels Season 2. And it just kind of takes you through some of the little Easter eggs that they put in the show that connect to other things. So like Ezra holding up the three-bladed lightsaber.
Oh, no, wait. That is not an Easter egg.
Yeah, no. It's that sort of thing. It's
there
that
was
sort
nothing
of thing.
Hidden about that reference.
Yeah, but it's that sort of thing, or like the clones having little scars on their foreheads from where they removed their chips and that sort of thing. So it's little things like that. It's very much oriented at kids and sort of getting kids interested in Star Wars outside of Rebels and you know, looking at what else is going on in the Star Wars galaxy. They seem to be pushing Clone Wars in that as well. Really pushing Clone Wars and Force Awakens. That seems to be what they're really trying to get kids interested in, and they're really focusing on the connections there. And then the other one is Blu-ray exclusive. So if you're getting the DVD, you can't get this. Yeah.
See, but you notice Dom's not complaining about this because he got sent it for free.
No, I do think that's anytime they do that, I think that's kind of lame, just in general. But yeah, this one is called From Apprentice to Adversary: Vader versus Ahsoka, and it's basically Filoni going over the story of Ahsoka and Vader, or Ahsoka and Anakin, and Ahsoka and Vader, and talking about some of the creative decisions that went into it. It's okay. It really feels heavily edited, though. Like, it feels like they sat a camera down in front of Filoni and said, talk about this for an hour, and they cut it into 5 minutes kind of thing. And so it's okay. The features are, I got to say, are a little bit underwhelming. I guess you're going to find the most depth if you watch the Rebels Recon again. Which is again, it's unfortunate. It would be nice to get some really in-depth stuff about what goes into creating these stories and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. But you know, I'm sure they have all sorts of market research about what people want and who buys these things and that sort of thing, and who actually watches that stuff. And I guess they decided it's not worth it. So. We'll see. I really feel like, you know, you look at some of the stuff we got at Celebration, like some of those panels, like there's so much more information that they could be telling us on a Blu-ray that, you know, they tell some of those stories at Celebration. You know, Filoni talked about at the Ahsoka Untold Tales panel, he talked about some of the alternate ideas that he had for the Ahsoka Vader fight that I think would have been really cool. They showed some of the concept art, and including this drawing that he did on a whiteboard at Lucasfilm, where everybody saw this drawing and they were afraid to erase it. And basically the person that had to erase this storyboard of the final confrontation between Ahsoka and Vader for season 2, the guy who had to erase it was Rian Johnson, because he needed the whiteboard to work on episode 8, and he was like calling Filoni like, you made sure to take lots of pictures of this, because I don't want to be the guy that loses this forever, because this is amazing. So there's stories like that that are just kind of fun behind the scenes things that I think they could put on Blu-ray.
Lucasfilm,
yeah.
I have to eat, like, Lucasfilm, you've got all this extra Blu-ray 3D cash coming in. Get down to IKEA and spring for a new whiteboard.
Yeah, exactly. Run out to the store and get a new one.
You could auction the Filoni one off, get a bit of cash for the Force for Change or something. But I don't know what life is like in America sometimes, because in Australia, we are in a bountiful plains of lush whiteboard country. We have a surplus of them.
Just giving them away. Now, you should send one to Lucasfilm with like a, and have it gift wrapped and say, just so you don't have like two Dave or something on it.
Just to have written on it too late. The you brought up the alternate, the battle for Darth Vader and Ahsoka. And yeah. I think we're in agreement that it was, I don't know, for us, that would have been a lot more of a satisfying conclusion, in that in one proposed ending, Ahsoka cut off a bit of Anakin's mask in the actual finale, eyebrow and all. People got very upset about the eyebrow. Eyebrow watch. And at that point in the alternate version, Darth Vader gives Ahsoka the old saber through the gut treatment, and that's it. She dies looking at Anakin, which I thought was, oh, that's a...
That's so powerful. Like, that is, that really, to me, would have been an extraordinarily powerful ending, and really preferable to what we got, because, you know, if they want to make her survive that confrontation, I think as the audience, we're owed an explanation of why and how, because that's not a confrontation that people should be able to walk away from easily. And I think to literally close the door on that fight as it was happening, to me, was like, forget everything, anything that you didn't like in seasons one or two of Rebels, anything in six seasons of the Clone Wars that didn't work, that to me is the greatest sin that Star Wars animation has committed, was closing the door on that fight. Because that is something that as audience members, we've been looking forward to that since 2008. And in a way, as storytellers, they've been building up to it since 2008. And, you know, Filoni mentioned at that Ahsoka panel that on her back some way, somehow. And I think that he was strongly implying that it will be on Rebels. So I hope that they give us that explanation, that they work that into the story. Because the way it stands right now, I really feel, I walked away from season two not feeling very excited about Rebels, and I compare that to how season one ended with Ahsoka's arrival and that great episode with where they defeated the Grand Inquisitor and Tarkin was there and all of this crazy stuff was going on, where that season one finale, I walked away from that so excited and so happy with the state of the Star Wars galaxy, to then, you know, 22 episodes later have a complete 180 to where I'm walking away going, I don't know, like that really did not work for me. And so,
the big question is, Dom, you walked away from the series two finale. Did Ahsoka walk away?
Did Ahsoka? I think she's alive in that temple in some way, but she can't leave. I think that's what happened there.
Yeah, I just think Filoni piked. Like... Mm. You know, the whole, we might, like, how many times can you bring her back? Like,
exactly, yeah. It was when she walked away from the Jedi at the end of season five, big moment, because we didn't know what her future was. And then when the show was canceled, we really didn't know what her future was. And so when she came back, it was this huge moment of everybody who was a fan of Clone Wars and a fan of that character coming together and celebrating this triumphant return. It was something we'd always wanted to see, and we were going to see it. And then it was almost like they went, let's do that again. Like, let's try that again. Like, let's have her leave her fate ambiguous again. And then we'll see if we can recreate that excitement when she returns the second time.
Like, just that, to have her die in that way, looking at the mask, oh man, that would have given that cartoon just such gravitas. Like, we did it in this crazy way.
Yeah, and I think it would have been, like, I think it would have been a satisfying conclusion, and also a very, very tragic one of, you know, it's like she can see him, but he almost can't see her. you know, it's even though it is Anakin looking at her, it's still very much Darth Vader. And so, you know, she would have had that final moment of looking into Anakin's eyes and seeing that he was not there, you know, that he is so buried that only Luke could get to him. And, you know, she, for all her attempts, she failed to either stop him or reach him. And I think that the Clone Wars era and this, the Clone Wars era, the prequel era, is a tragic era. And Ahsoka, by definition, I think, needs to be a tragic character. You know, there's not really any characters in the prequel era that get a happy ending. Like name me one. Like, they all die. They all die in, like, horrible ways, or they fail brutally and have to, like, struggle and scrape by to hopefully get Luke or Leia, one of these two kids, to, you know, they have to put all their hopes on them. And so it's a tragic era, and I think Ahsoka is a part of that and needs to be given the same treatment.
What about Watto? He would have ended okay.
Yeah, sure, Watto. Well, maybe it's different when you're living out there on Tatooine, but I mean, when we see Watto in episode 2, he's not doing so great. You can compare him.
He's all right. Puberty kicked in. He grew a beard. He's getting into the cantina without ID now.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, I suppose.
Wasn't there some sort of artwork or something that's like, I'm not sure it was in the pre-production, but of Dexter Jetster's restaurant, and it was all abandoned? It was closed down? Am I just making this up?
I don't know that one. Maybe that's
maybe
fan
it was
art.
Fan art or something, but that was sad that he had to close up shop.
Yeah, no, that was sad. Although, you know, if you assume Detours is canon, then it kept going as a popular top spot for all the intergalactic celebrities for many years.
Okay, well, in that case, it closed up. That's sad.
Yes.
Hey, you guys, I hope you're enjoying the very first Steel Wars call-in show. And just a heads up, if you're new to Steel Wars, our other podcast, which is also free on iTunes, the Steel Wars Star Wars podcast, each week goes in-depth into Star Wars fandom, interviewing cast and crew, super fans, musicians, artists, actors, and celebrities that have been inspired by the saga we all know and love. If you've never heard it before, I'm going to point out a few key episodes. Episode 102, pretty fresh, with Nathan Hamill, the son of Mark Hamill, who of course played Luke Skywalker in the saga, giving us a very unique view on what it's like to be a Star Wars fan when your father is Luke Skywalker. Episode 77 with Julian Smirk, associate editor of The Force Awakens, gives you an unprecedented look into the behind-the-scenes work that went into editing one of the biggest films of all time. You will learn things that you have not read or heard anywhere else on the internet when you check out this episode. And episode 64 with legendary film critic Leonard Maltin talking about his now iconic interviews that appeared in the 90s VHS box set release. The very first time George Lucas talked about the Star Wars prequels on camera. Amazing memories from the great man Leonard Maltin. All there up on iTunes or at steelwars.com. If you are brand new to Steel Wars, with no false modesty, you are in for a listening treat. Get over to the Steel Wars feed. You can also access it at steelwars.com. Get downloading.
Hey, I'm just going to do something, Dom. I'm going to try ring the number.
Okay.
So, on my phone. I'm going to see what happens.
Yes. Okay, this should be interesting.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
Okay, so I'm in. Oh, now I can hear myself. This is so exciting. Can you hear me, Dom?
I can hear you. I can hear you. I don't know if I can hear you over your mic or over the phone.
Oh, we might be able to get a bit of...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Reverb, bit of Kanye vibes going on here.
Oh yeah, no, I'm hearing you double. This is hilarious.
Bad Watto. Dexter Jester.
Ahsoka is dead.
I put it away. So, a few people said they were having trouble, but if you Skype in on the number, you've got to set it to you got to set your phone call to America, and then you dial the number 646-668-8360. Oh my God, we've got someone calling in, Dom.
Got a caller.
It looks like they're from Australia, so let's hopefully this works. Hey there.
Hello, Stu.
Yes, hi, who is this? Where are you calling from?
It's Peter Steele.
Oh, hey Pete, how are you?
Good, mate. Just ringing to find out when you're going to do a live voiceover of the latest Star Wars and take the piss out of it. Have you moved on enough to do that yet?
Have I moved on? Yeah, we should do that soon. We do the comedy commentaries over the films. And I've actually got a few that I've got to put up on the supporter page. We've got the Phantom Menace and the Holiday Special. And, yeah, we should do that possibly in November, Peter.
Oh, that sounds excellent. The Star Wars Holiday Special one was a very traumatic experience, but I've moved on from it since.
It goes for so long. It goes for like 2.5 hours.
It's insane.
At least it was in a bar. You could go and get drinks to numb the pain.
Oh man, I was very numb by the end. I was traveling through time and space. But the version we did it on, Dom, had the old commercials from the original screening.
Oh yeah, I know that version.
And it was quite sad that they had these advertisements for, like, support American factories and American, you know, like, blue-collar workers and stuff, or otherwise, we're going to lose that industry. And it's sort of just like, ooh, they didn't take those ads seriously enough.
Yeah. Yeah, you look back at those with a completely different light. Yeah, no, I know the version you're talking about. We also did a commentary of it at the Star Wars Underworld about...
Hey, we've all got stuff going on, mate.
Yeah, no, hey, we did, I think we did ours first, too. That's the other thing. We did ours about 2 years ago.
Here we go.
Yeah, we did ours about 2 years ago, and we watched the version with the commercials, and the commercials are almost more interesting than the special itself. That thing is pretty bad. We watched a clip of it in one of my classes this year. I took a class on science fiction television.
Pain.
Yeah, pain, yeah, on torture. It's a really weird college. I don't understand. No, on science fiction television, and the prof just started playing it at the beginning of a lecture. And so people look up and they see Han and Chewie, and they're like, oh, this is Star Wars. And it was about 2 months after The Force Awakens, so everybody had that in their mind of what Star Wars is. And then we got to that, like, weird Wookiee circus act and all the crazy stuff. Eventually, she put us out of our misery when she stopped it when Mark Hamill came on with his 3 tons of makeup and R2-D2 and an X-ray. It was like one of those things. Like as the big Star Wars fan in that class, I'm like trying. Like people are going to ask me about this. I don't want to have to explain the horror that is the holiday special.
Charlie, our friend from London, says he's pretty sure the Dex closing thing was in Aftermath.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
That now that you mention it, it does kind of sound vaguely familiar. Like it does sound like something that was in one of those interludes or something.
And I, in my head, I just imagine it with all graffiti over it. Because you know, like when a fast food place closes down, like a McDonald's or a Pizza Hut,
yeah.
And just like overnight, people just graph it to death. Once that's closed, that is a hot target. Do you have any, like a Star Wars question to get us going there, Pete?
No. I'll let you go, guys. I've got to go and mow the lawn or do domestic stuff. I'll let someone else of the many callers call in. I'll catch you later, guys. Thank you.
All right,
see ya.
See you soon. Hey.
Thanks, Pete.
All right.
It
Pete,
worked.
First caller.
It worked. He can hold that distinction among Steel Wars listeners for years. He was the first. He was the first live call-in on the show.
The Pete Award for the first caller. We should get that going. Pete actually takes a lot of photos of the live podcast in Melbourne. So
oh, very nice.
If you've seen photos of me laughing on stage and stuff, that's that's normally him. That is very normally nice. Him. All right. What
well,
else have we got going?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say about the live shows, if anybody, for people that are listening that haven't gone to one of the live shows, you need to go. You need to go. If you're in Melbourne or if you're anywhere that Steel is doing these live shows, they're so much fun. I got to go to the one in London, the one with Tom Bell. That was just like, I had such a good time and it's so much fun to be, it was like a little very mini of just all these people together, enjoying a Star Wars discussion and everybody there loves Star Wars and we had a lot of fun before and after and during the podcast.
Especially during, please.
Yeah, especially during. Now that was the best part. Sure. Yeah, that was the best part. Was watching
Jet
Lag,
actually,
you know, try to ask questions about The Force Awakens.
Yeah. We've got one in Melbourne next Saturday actually. So there you go.
Yeah,
get
go.
With it. And,
go.
And then we're doing the LA Podcast Festival in September. So good times
nice.
Afoot. Oh, we've got another caller, Dom. So let's
right.
See what they want to talk about. Who are you
hi,
and where
Steel,
you're
hi,
calling
Dom.
From? Who are we talking to?
It's Emily.
Hey, Emily. Emily.
Hey, Emily.
A huge presence on my Twitter feed, calling from New York, I believe.
Yes, New York.
Very cool. What's on your mind, Emily? What do you want to talk about?
I've been sort of wondering, and we're all really big Star Wars fans, obviously. So what do you think Rogue One to people who are more casual fans? Like, what do you think the excitement levels are? Because I know, like, when the new movie came out, my mom wasn't even going to go see it until she learned that, like, Han and Leia and everybody was going to go, was in it. And then she was excited. But, I mean, Rogue One seems like a much harder sell in that way. And I'm sort of wondering if you have any, like, thoughts of how it plays to people who aren't like us.
I like that term, people that aren't like us.
Yeah. I think it's going to be very interesting. I'm surprised they're not using Vader as much as I thought they would. Maybe they will as we get closer to the movie itself, but I'm kind of surprised that he's not on the poster or anything like that. I would think that they would maybe try and draw people in with the promise of seeing Darth Vader. Then again, we've seen what happened with Suicide Squad and people went in wanting to see the Joker and were disappointed and now are apparently trying to sue Warner Brothers or that, which is just insanity. So maybe that's not the best idea. I wonder about that myself because it is so hard to think, to put ourselves in the shoes of people who aren't like us, who aren't following this stuff on a daily basis and listening to podcasts and reading websites and waiting desperately for the trailers to show up online. I really do wonder what it is. I'd like to know what somebody who didn't know about Rogue One or kind of knew that Rogue One was kind of a thing that might happen thought of that trailer when it came on during the Olympics. Like I'd be really curious to know what people think of that. And I mean, it's still, people seem to be very excited about it. There's lots of buzz about it. So I don't think it'll bomb at the box office as much as I'm sure there are plenty of entertainment writers with their documents ready to go that say Rogue One, a Star Wars flop, or something like that. So I don't think that's going to happen, but I am curious to see how they're going to really reach that audience. And I mean, the fact that they skipped Comic-Con and didn't debut a trailer at Celebration, instead going with the Olympics, I think speaks to the fact that they're wondering about that too, and they're worried about that too.
Well, especially because it slots into such a specific point in Star Wars canon,
mm-hmm.
that I can see if it's not something you followed closely, you might be confused with what's going on when you're first like walking into the theater. And yeah. that's something I think they need to address at some point in the advertising campaign.
Well, I've spoken to people that, you know, they're the people that would go to see Star Wars and possibly buy the DVD or the Blu-ray when it comes out. And they seemed like pretty pumped on it, just sort of based on the visuals and the action. Like, I'm not even sure whether they got when it was set, but they were just like, AT-ATs getting shot. Yeah, got to go see that.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, and
I'm interested how it will get, like, without the crawl, it's just like, how do you set that time?
Yeah, how do you... I was just going to say the same thing.
And my thing with the crawl is, you know, people say, oh, you don't have to do that. It's a Star Wars story. You can do other things. But you've got to make sure that other thing is way better than this thing that we've already got that's pretty good.
Yeah, I've been thinking about
that. You can do a trippy credits scene or, you know, something totally new and off the wall, but is it going to be giant yellow letters going through space? Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when they started to say, oh, we don't think we're going to do the crawl, we're probably not going to do the crawl, I've started to think, like, of the things we've seen, can we kind of figure out what might be the first scene in the movie? Like, can we look at the trailers and go, oh, maybe that would be a cool opening action? And I almost wonder if, like, the movie might open with her being walked into the Yavin base. Like, that might be the dropping off in the middle. But I don't know if that's necessarily true to Star Wars either, because Star Wars has always begun with, like, an action sequence of some design, some regard. And I really, personally, I feel like for this one especially, they need a crawl. I really think they do, and maybe we can reevaluate when it comes time for the Han Solo movie, and it's going to be a different tone. But with this, where it's this war movie and it's set in a completely different era, it's the first one, I feel like we need to ground people in that era. But then again, is that even enough? Like, let's be honest, does the average moviegoer know the difference between the Empire and the First Order?
Oh, no. I should just say there's someone on Skype on hold. We will get to you shortly, so hold tight. But how are they going to fit in all the backstory for where it's set and also mm-hmm. have Saw Gerrera explain six seasons of the Clone Wars in the same film? Because that's what we want as Star Wars fans, yeah, is to him to mention everything that happened in the Clone Wars, everyone he met, just callback after callback, you know, just mentioning Anakin Skywalker, then winking at the screen.
I know you're joking, and I don't want that to happen, where he just describes the Onderon arc for us over 5 minutes. But if he could drop the name Anakin Skywalker, I would kind of freak out. I gotta, no lie.
I think he should reference, you know, maybe the passing of his sister without mm-hmm. mentioning the passing of his sister. I think that would be
absolutely
enough to satisfy, like, the Clone Wars fans and keep it vague and Star Warsy. Like, you know, just if he sort of, I don't know, looks to the horizon and says, "We've all lost people," or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that. That's all you need. That's all you need. You don't need to... This reminds me of when Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka was training me to do some weird form of bowling tank blowing up.
Absolutely. Like some kind of passing reference to, like we've all lost people, or the fact that maybe just mentioned that he trained with the Jedi or he fought alongside the Jedi, like some little passing reference to that. That's vague and obscure, but those of us that watch Clone Wars will know exactly what he's talking about in that moment.
Yeah. Like, and you know, Emily's question about when, you know, people getting their head around when the film is set. I don't know. I don't know if that's such a big, like, I just think, like, I go to see a Marvel film and I don't really have a clue what's going on, and I just go watch it.
Okay.
No, like, once I start watching it, I know, but, like, when, as I'm going into the cinema, I'm like, yeah, I don't really know what this film's about, but it'll explain it to me. Oh, okay, it's, like, this is going on. Like, I think the film on its own, and just the you know, it's Star Wars. I don't know if
Star
we
Wars,
sort of
so
overthink
people will
that.
Go.
Yeah. And then if it's good, then a lot more people will go. Like, it's a thing of, like, does it have more of a Force Awakens long term? You know, obviously, I don't think it will be to that level. Or does it Suicide Squad, you know, huge first weekend and then you're done, son?
Yeah. That's my fear. That's my fear, is that it'll burn out like Suicide Squad or Batman v Superman or something like that. Like, it that it would have that really exciting weekend. But, I mean, that was the fun of The Force Awakens, is that it kept going and people still wanted to talk about it. And, you know, you're getting into the new year and well into the new year, and people were still going to see it for the first time and still talking about it. And, you know, that was so much fun. And we'll never quite have that again. I think we say that a lot when it comes to The Force Awakens. But if we can capture something similar, then I think we're in for a lot of fun with the Rogue One release.
Now, while we've still got Emily on the line, and this is a question for both her and Dominic, I find, like, hey, like, there's no Darth Vader on the poster, Dom. You just mentioned that. I have a hard time, and maybe it's just my Star Wars traditionalist head, but I have a hard time registering that poster we got given at Celebration as the poster for Rogue One. Like, there's got to be another poster, yeah.
I wonder about that, because I'm the same way. Like, I almost forget that happened, because so much else happened during Celebration, and then I'll see the poster. I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing. And during Comic-Con, Jason Ward was showing me, he's like, somebody just sent me this picture, do you recognize it? And we're looking at it like, is this a new picture from Rogue One? And then we realized, nope, that's just the zoomed in on the poster, and it's got K2SO in it. And sort of like, I didn't even realize that K2 was on the poster. Like, I have not really paid it that much attention. It's weird. Like, it's something that we could have spent hours poring over it, but instead it just kind of dropped in the middle of that panel. And, you know, then we've had a trailer and we haven't really had a chance to absorb it and enjoy it. And so, yeah, I do kind of wonder if there's maybe another poster that's coming, because it's a cool poster, but it looks very much like fan art, and it doesn't, I don't know, it doesn't really set up the characters or anything. Like, you don't really, if you look closely, you see K2SO, but you don't really see Jin or Cassian or any of these characters. It doesn't do much.
I have the poster, and I didn't even know that K2 was on it. So, when we got given it, I thought it was just like a sort of a one-off.
Like the D23 poster.
Yeah, and then when I saw it in cinemas, I'm like, oh, that to me doesn't seem like good marketing for that. You know, that person that Emily's talking about. What do you think, Emily?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think a casual person walking by that poster even necessarily thinks, oh, that's Star Wars. Like, I mean, I understand that they want these standalone movies, like the Star Wars story, to be their own thing. But I think you still need to make it Star Wars. And I like that poster. I think it's a nice poster, but it doesn't scream, hey, it's a Star Wars poster to me.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that Star Wars is underneath Rogue One, like it's the smallest text on the poster, to me is kind of surprising that they're not leading with, hey guys, this is a Star Wars movie, come see a Star Wars movie. Instead they're saying, come see Rogue One. Like they're not, it doesn't seem like they're, you would think just calling it Star Wars Rogue One would be better for it. I mean, look at the Force Awakens logo. It's like Star Wars The Force Awakens. Like it really wants you to know that you're going to see a Star Wars movie.
That preview poster, it seems like a exotic Kentucky tour.
I kind of get putting Star Wars second in that, because otherwise people like my mom think, oh, this is the new movie in the trilogy.
Yeah, fair enough. I do understand that, but just purely from we want to get butts in the seats idea, I would think that maybe that putting Star Wars first might sell more tickets. But then you're right, that might confuse people too. So I don't know. It's a weird one.
That sounds like some weird nerd political campaign slogan. Put Star Wars first.
That's my slogan for my anti Force Awakens 3D Blu-ray campaign, Star Wars.
Emily, thanks so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Emily.
Bye.
Just a heads up that our now world famous asterisk, Your Snoke Theory Sucks, and the Have You Seen Him stickers and t-shirts are now available from the Steel Wars merch store. You can get a 10-pack of stickers for just $5 Australian, which is under $4 American. It helps support the podcast, and you also get instantly 10 bonus supporter-exclusive episodes handpicked by little old me. Check it out at steelwars.com.
All right, so I'm going to try bring on, I believe they're Skyping in.
Mick from Brisbane.
Mick McConnell?
Hey, Mick. Yes, that's me. How are you? Long time listener, first time caller.
I think that's everyone.
Yeah.
great show, guys.
Mick does a great job. He does the little sizzle clips of the older episodes for us, Dom.
Oh, fantastic. I love those. Those are great.
What's going on, Mick? What's on your mind?
Mate, I think you might have covered a lot of it with Emily just now, but I was just, through the week, you posted a great re-edit of the Rogue One trailer with paired up with the Beastie Boys Sabotage song, which is an awesome song. And that came out great. But it got me, you posted a comment and said, I'd never want this sort of music in a Star Wars film. But it's lots of fun for that clip. It got me sort of thinking, what is okay to change in these spin-off films? If we didn't have the crawl and it suddenly opened, cold open in the middle of the battlefield, with shaky shoulder cam, like Saving Private Ryan, would that be okay?
For me, I think you can change most things, especially in the spin-off films. You have to be a little bit more reverent with the episodic films, but with the spin-off films, you can change just about everything. And I agree with the Beastie Boys thing. Like it's a cool little mashup, but I don't ever want to hear an Earth song in a Star Wars movie. But I would, maybe a few years down the line, I might be okay with having rock music in a Star Wars movie, as long as it's composed for the Star Wars movie, almost like, Laptineck or Jabba Flow, but more of a rock and roll version of something like that. So I could be okay with something like that, as long as it's not done as stupidly as it was done in Star Trek Beyond. It would have to be done right and done well, and not be the Beastie Boys or the Rolling Stones or Green Day or something like that. It would have to be a new thing in universe for to work.
No alien singing to an imaginary camera that's not there.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
That was weird, wasn't it? I don't know. I think I'm a bit of a a stickler, and it's also, it's hard to go, like, and I hear this in fandom a lot. It's like, well, if they do it well, like, and of course, if anything's done well, then it's good. But I think when you change the music too much or the opening, then it, you're opening the gates to not do it well, because I don't know. And with that whole, the crawl thing, like, and what you're going to replace it with, like, I also think about being in there on the first night and seeing it come up for the first time, and the fun of, and the almost the nervousness of reading that new crawl for the first time.
Yeah.
It's like you better have something good to sacrifice that feeling.
I'm with you 100%. 100%.
And I can't imagine an opening credits that can like that. That feeling is so priceless, and it's so like built into our sort of like youth, that to sacrifice that with something else, it's going to want to be good. It's going to want to be real good.
Mm. Yep, definitely.
Yeah. I'm with you. The one thing, you know, the crawl again, you know, I'm with you 100%. I think I would much prefer to have all the Star Wars movies open with crawls. But if they do get rid of it, and it is done well, the one thing I will never accept getting rid of is A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. If that is not in front of the movie, I will be... If you think I'm angry about the Force Awakens 3D Blu-ray, you will understand my wrath. You will see my full wrath when the day they lose A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away.
What about this? They bring out Rogue One, and it has this new opening, totally new, and then they bring out the Blu-ray in, you know, March or whenever, and then, you know, around November, they bring out the special edition Blu-ray 3D with opening crawl.
I'll pay my $40. No.
And it can be called the Dominic Jones Temper Edition.
Yeah, we want to send, you know, we all have our Star Wars triggers for steel. It's Snoke theories for me. It's selling Blu-rays for $40 again 6 months later.
What else is on your mind, Mick?
Just I guess what you're talking about. I think Dom mentioned before Emily mentioned, like, the average punter seems to be pretty confused about where Rogue One fits in. I'm just wondering maybe if they need to, like, spell it out in some sort of, I don't know, like, documentary style ad before it comes out. Just a lot of the people I speak to, people that don't listen to, like, they'll go to the movies when they come out, but they don't listen to podcasts or, you know, read blogs and things. They're pretty confused about it.
Those pussies.
Oh, no. Yes, maybe they're not worth caring about. But I think Disney or Lucasfilm need to do something to just sort of fill in the blanks for people.
There's got to be a next trailer, right, Dom? Mm-hmm. There's got to be another trailer.
Yeah.
There has to be, yeah.
And I think in that one, it has to be just really, like, pinpointed on when this is. And what's going on. Another thing that is of interest is we haven't even heard Mendo speak yet in the trailer.
It all comes back to Mendo.
Well, we haven't seen much of, like, the Imperial... I don't know. It doesn't feel like much of the Imperial side sort of... Like, the characters on that side have really been explored at all yet. But I know Jason said this a couple times to me, that he'd heard... that before the film, you will know a lot about all the main characters. Like, they're really going to, like, pump out information about all the different characters to get people across it.
Okay. I'm intrigued to see how they would do that. Is it books, comics, or, like, TV spots? Like, you remember the Phantom Menace TV spots that were, like, those weird poems? Would it be something like that, or...
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe just, like, web, like a series of web things.
Maybe what they did for the web things.
Maybe, like, some motion graphics and things just to show you how it all fits in. Nice flowchart.
Hey, whoa. This film's got a budget, buddy. Let's just calm down.
Yeah, they can't afford to do that after all the reshoots.
Oh, God, Dom, you're in a surly mood today, Dom.
What's happened to me? What has happened to me?
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Mick, and I'll be in contact with you soon, buddy.
Thanks, Mick.
All good, see ya.
I've actually been hanging up on people after they call, but I think if I push the... Oh, no, I think he just dropped out. Hey, Mick, did you just hang up or did I hang up on you? We're just trying to work out this thing. You can tweet me the answer. It is quite amazing that I'm able just to log onto this thing and have people call in. But our lines are open, Dom, after that flurry of calls. So if anyone wants to call in, the number is 646-668-8360. And that is an American number, but you can Skype in from anywhere. What else? I saw both on the Star Wars Underworld and Making Star Wars had up a video reviewing the Rogue One Black Series 6-inch figures that have somehow already leaked.
Yeah, how does that happen? That always amazes me that there's always that like one country that gets the Rogue One or not the Rogue One, the new figures like 6 months in advance. Well, not 6 months, like 6 weeks in advance. It's like, how did this happen? They spend so much time trying to lock down these secrets. How do they let a case of toys get out to a store and wind up on the shelves 6 weeks early? That's amazing to me. But then again, you know, people really, really want this stuff.
Well, maybe there's just so many figures coming for the release at Rogue Friday, whatever it's called, that the warehouse just literally cannot contain all those Jyn Ursos. They're just bursting at the seams.
I think you're going to be sorely disappointed on September 30th, if that's what you're thinking.
But so the figures that are up, there's like little YouTube reviews. There's a Jyn Erso, there's a Cassian, there's a K2SO, and a Imperial Death Trooper in the 6-inch form. And I don't know, from these, the figures look really good. What do you think?
Yeah, look pretty good. I mean, I've always thought the Black Series in general looks like very good figures. Like they're because they're 6-inch, they're able to put a lot more detail into them than they could do with the 3 3/4-inch stuff. And so, yeah, they come out with these really great looking figures, and you know, it just becomes a matter of if we can actually find them. But I mean, like I love like looking at the K2 and the Death Trooper especially. Those two look really impressive, and you know, Cassian and Jyn look great, but the K2 and the Death Trooper especially, there's something about those where I want, oh yeah, I'd see them and I'm like, oh yeah, I want that on the shelf.
Yeah, I was the K2 actually, like I was stunned. I was like, wow, this is actually a really exciting figure. Like, just that I guess that its dimensions are so off like a normal figure, and I don't know, it just looks like, I think they did a really good job with that. And of course the Black Series, the Death Trooper, I was wondering, like, you read like Lost Stars and stuff, and you know, it's about people being in the Empire, and you know, they sort of, I guess some of them like feel like they're fighting the good fight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I don't know. It's hard to paint in a positive way when you ring your mum and you're like, "Oh, I just got promoted to Death Trooper. Can't wait to get out there and start trooping some death.
Yeah,
fight the good fight."
I almost wonder if maybe we're gonna find out in the movie that Death Trooper is. That's like an unofficial nickname. Like they're really the, you know, enforcer troopers, but everybody actually calls them the Death Troopers because, you know, they bring death and all that.
Oh, well, you can see it on the side of the Hasbro box. It says Imperial Death Trooper. Would the side of the box lie to me?
It's not like the side of the box has ever lied to us before. So, I mean, maybe they're just keeping that information super secret. I don't know.
It sounds like you had a bad breakup with the side of a box.
It was awful. It was really bad.
And the other thing that a little bit of information on the box is the Captain Caspian figure is in, how do you pronounce this? Adu? The planet?
Yeah, he's in Adu. Adu.
Yeah, he's in Adu Fatigues Adu. Or something. So had you heard of that planet previously, Dom?
I mean, it's one of those things that kind of sounds familiar. It might have been in a rumor 6 months ago, but like I can't place where it came from. And it also sounds like some planets that we've heard of before, so I might just be confusing it with them. But I can't look at the trailer and go, oh yeah, that's Edu or something like that, the way we can with Jeddah or Scarif or Yavin.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit... A few of those middle planets, I'm like, I don't know which one's which.
Yeah, so, maybe this is that, you know, where all the mountains are that we see the X-Wings flying through at night. Maybe that's this planet.
Yeah, I love that clip of the X-Wings. That was...
Oh, that's so good. Like, that's my favorite part of the trailer. Like, forget Darth Vader. That is the moment where I'm like, oh, this is Star Wars. This is so good.
It's weird that people, I don't know, there's that catch-22 with Star Wars fans that, like, people, oh, more X-Wings, I'm sick of X-Wings, and it's like, yeah. Well, it's just before Star Wars, I don't know, there's that thing.
I understand people feeling like Episode 7 should have had more new ship designs, and I kind of agree with that, but with this movie, to complain about anything familiar is kind of insane because, yeah, it's, you know, it's a week before the original movie. It's a week before A New Hope. I if they had something different that would have been useful in the attack on the Death Star and they didn't use it, it kind of makes you wonder, like, what's going on with the Rebellion? Are they really capable of leading this fight? So, X-Wings are one of those things, though, I'll never be upset about seeing an X-Wing in a movie. It could be a movie set 100 years from Return of the Jedi, and if they're still flying around in X-Wings, I'm like, I'm good. I'm okay with that, as long as there's other new stuff to go along with it. But X-Wings are like Chewbacca or the Millennium Falcon. You can keep it going as long as you want.
Yeah, I've just got such fond X-Wing thoughts. Like, I was just thrilled to see them in a, you know, a different environment. And like, and they are a slightly different model of X-Wing. Is that just one of them or all of them? I felt like they were a slightly sort of different model, but I guess I didn't
notice anything, but then again, I'm not a real, like, I can't tell you the difference between two Star Destroyers or anything like that. Like, that sort of detail is something that kind of goes over my head, so.
Detail? They're like a kilometer long, Dom.
Yes, that's true.
All right, Dom, that hour and a half actually... It breezed past. Was that fast?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the clock.
Yeah, I'm looking at this timer. We've got a minute and 20 seconds left.
So what I'd like to do, if you've got time after, we'll record a little bonus section for the supporters. Which cool. is something I want to do every week. You know, we've got to talk about the crazy theory about Episode 8 getting released early, in my opinion. We've got Rogue One Empire covers. We've already got two covers released for that, and I've got some Empire magazine thoughts, some memories to share with you, Dom,
you'll
find very entertaining. Editing on Star Wars Episode 8 has begun, and the international trailer are some of the things we have got to discuss. But Dom, plug your stuff before we go off the free feed.
Yes, everybody should check out the Star Wars Underworld, the Star Wars Underworld podcast, which is available every Friday. We have new episodes. Our latest episode was looking back at day 3 of Star Wars Celebration. It was a lot of fun to check that out. You can find that and all the latest Star Wars news at StarWarsUnderworld.com.
And that is one of my mainstay podcasts. I look forward to that every week. And yeah, we'll be doing this next week. I'm not sure who's going to be co-hosting next week, but Jason Ward's coming up. Nick Mason from the Weekly Planet's coming up. Yeah, we'll get more calls and I'll get used to using this thing. And may that force be with you.
It's a wrap.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the very first Steel Wars call-in show. A few little bugs to work through, and I'm going to do some investigation on how to make the sound on Blog Talk Radio a little less AM radio, but I love the format. It was super, super fun, and I hope you guys can join us and call in live if you are free. Right now, the plan is for it to go down, if you're in America, on the East Coast, 9 p.m. Friday night, West Coast, 6 p.m. Friday night, and if you're in Australia on the East Coast, it is 11 a.m. Saturday mornings. We tried to do a time that would fit in with the majority of our listeners and also my life. And that was the time chosen, but it was super cool. And if you are a supporter on the VIP supporter page or on the Bandcamp, which you guys can easily sign up for if you want. And this week's a great week to do it because me and Dom recorded a bonus show. We didn't mean it to go this long, but we did another hour. Every week I want to record a segment longer, you know, maybe like 20, 30 minutes, but we got right into it. Time flies when me and Dom talk, apparently, and we covered things like Ryan Johnson beginning editing episode 8. Is there any chance episode 8 is released early? I've got some strong words about that. We talk about the Rogue One Empire magazine covers, and I tell quite an adorable story about the time Empire magazine came to my house. We talk Galen Erso, Anakin Skywalker, Mendo, and the comedy of Darth Vader and Kylo Ren. It is a great bonus chat. And for $3 a month, you can get all this bonus content, the Gonk and Steel Trash Compactor, the Q&As, full access to our back catalog, and now each week you get a bonus section to the call-in show. And you also get all the shows without any plugs or advertisements clogging up the conversation, which some people really appreciate. And that's for $3 Australian a month, which works out to about $2.20 American a month. You can get all the information on steelwars.com, and it's all handled through the very secure web platform of bandcamp.com. As you are listening to this, you've probably noticed that all this is on a new feed, and that feed needs a bit of love and attention. So if you can write a sweet review, click 5 stars, and most importantly at the moment, just click subscribe. Just keep clicking subscribe, because that will really bump us up the rankings. On the main Steel Wars show this week, we have got a tribute to Kenny Baker, with many previous guests calling in to give some really fascinating tales of first-hand accounts of hanging out with Kenny and some great memories of the much-missed Kenny Baker. So get over on that feed and hit download there, you guys, and may that force be with you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.